Totally Hockey at the 2019 IIHF Ice Hockey World Championships, Day 4. Hello, everybody. Joining us here in Bratislava for the Totally Hockey Show, we have a Czech radio commentator, František Kuna.
Hello.
Hello to you, František. And in from the IIHF, Andy Potts.
Hi there.
Hi, Andy. You've been keeping the world abreast on events in Slovakia, and there's been a lot going on Monday.
There has, yeah. It's been a big day, and it's been a lot of fun.
It has. A lot of it going on down in Košice. And joining us from there very shortly will be TSN's Julie Robbenheimer, who's been across two extraordinary matches between Finland and USA and Slovakia, Canada on Monday evening. Later on, we'll also be hearing from the former Danish Lion, Morten Green. But let's begin with the story of Day 4. Monday saw the big guns back out to play. USA got scared by stranger Finns, but after seeing a two-goal lead pegged back, they got their happy ending 3-2 in overtime.
Dylan Larkin works in. Larkin in, fire, scores! Dylan Larkin, overtime winner, and the United States takes it 3-2.
Meanwhile, in Bratislava, another Russian crushing as the Red Machine shut down the Czechs 3-0.
Andronov, goal!
Monday night, it went off. While in Bratislava, it was another poor day for Norway, losing 9-1 to Sweden. In Košice, Canada had a crazy 6-5 victory over the host Slovakia, with Mark Stone's winner with just 2 seconds left in regulation time.
Has a look at the clock, feeds it back to Shabbat. Wait, feeds, Stone shoots, scores! Mark Stone with 2 seconds left, scores the power play, and Canada leads 6-5.
Remember, you can check out highlights of all of that and more on the fabulous IIHF app, and there's goals as they go in across the IIHF's social channels, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. All righty, well, we'll be hearing about the events down in Košice very shortly when we're joined by Julie Robbenheimer, who's on her way out of a, I would imagine, fairly emotional mix zone right now. Let's talk then, in the meanwhile, about what went on this afternoon here in Bratislava, Russia taking on the Czech Republic. It was seen as the first real test of the Russians, František. They passed.
And the second test for Czechs. It's a really tough start for Czech team, I guess. Great first 2 days. Czechs beat Sweden, then Norway. And I guess it's day four, and it's a little bit complicated. It can be more interesting in the Group B here in Bratislava. And the Czechs, I guess, they were maybe a little bit scared from a Russian machine, but they didn't know why. They didn't know why.
Well, some of the scoreline so far might be the reason. Although, one of the question marks over the Red Machine was the amount of chances they had been conceding to less fancied opponents thus far. So perhaps the most important element of this 3-0 scoreline was the actual zero, Andy.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. Andrei Vasilevsky in goal obviously performed very strongly. He is a top-class goalie, and that's one of the things that will make a difference in this tournament. Defensively, they tightened up. It was something they talked about after the Austria game, where it was just too easy for the Austrians to wander through centre ice and get chances. And a team that's used to getting chances would have scored, but Austria was so amazed to get that close to the net, I think they got overexcited. I was interested in what František was saying about the Czechs being scared. There was a kind of somewhat throwaway comment from Voracek about Ovechkin not scoring any goals, and Voracek just said he might score four on Monday, which was, for me, an odd thing to say about someone you're about to play. I would have expected maybe a bit more bullishness out of the Czechs there.
As it turned out, he didn't score any goals. And I mean, for me as a tourist here, that's one of the things I've been most struck by with Russia's games is the way that he hasn't. While other people like Kucherov have been playing a huge role, Kovalchuk and Gusev as well, we've not seen much from Ovi. Is that because he's timing himself? He's had a tough season. He's going to pitch up more when the games get a little bit more special.
I'm not sure if Ovechkin played. I can't see him. Malkin had a great game today, I guess. I saw him many times. For your imagination, we had a live commentary. That's my job. So I pronounced Malkin many, many times. Ovechkin, I guess, first in the middle of the game, and I said I can't see him. So I guess his time will come in the next days. It's not too much important part for Russia, I guess.
He's just been top scorer in the NHL last season, so I guess that's the surprise. But when you have got people like, I mean, that pairing of Kucherov and Gusev works so beautifully.
Well, that's a pairing with a long history. They played together as 5-6-year-olds with a youth team in Moscow. When Gusev was asked about the goal he scored today, he was talking about that understanding dating back 20 years now. That's something very special. You rarely see two players whose careers have developed in quite that way together. You can see the chemistry that they've got as a result of that. With Ovechkin, it could become a question for Russia's head coach, Ilya Vorobyov. He's such a cult figure in Russian hockey that if you say, we're going to rest him and don't get the results, it's a huge call and it all lands on your head. If you don't rest him and he doesn't get the goals and you don't win the medals, that's also a huge call in hindsight. So if we don't see Ovechkin start bringing a bit more to the game, which he's entirely capable of doing, everyone knows that, there may be an awkward little conversation to be had among the coaching staff about exactly where they go with him from here.
Right. But in the meantime, the Red Machine is rolling along pretty nicely. 3 wins from 3. As for the Czechs, who I think came into this with quite high hopes of maybe ending that long medal drought that you guys have had, a setback today. But what do you think in general of the team this year, Franciszek?
I guess it's really good for the Czech team. There is 10 players from NHL. There is not too much pressure for, I guess, 2 or 3 players, how it was the years before. It was a little bit more than 2, but I guess it was one line, just a few people, and the other people can just expect, yes, we have these stars from the NHL, and this is the guys who will decide the game. We just need to play 4-0-0 in our shift. And it's just, I'm thinking about how can it be. So today, I guess that's the really good part in the Czech team. There is a strong offense, not too much experienced defense, but many players from NHL here. And it's like a NHL World Championship when the best teams play. If you see Czechs against Sweden, it was, I guess, 30 players on the pitch from NHL, and this day with Russia, I guess, 25 altogether. So, like a NHL World Championship.
You're listening to the Totally Ice Hockey Show with James Richardson.
Well, next up for the Czechs will be Latvia on Thursday. In a big game for those quarterfinal places, potentially. Russians will be up against the arduous task that is Italy on Wednesday. Right, well, we're joined now by Julie Robbenheimer on the line from Košice. Julie, thank you so much for joining us. Another quiet day down there.
Yeah, exactly. An overtime game and an almost overtime game to send the hometown crowd home disappointed, but definitely entertained.
Absolutely. Where do you want to start with the events this evening, that Slovakia-Canada 11-goal thriller?
Well, yeah, we definitely can. It's something that the Slovakian team did not think that they had in them, 5 goals against Canada. And to be 1 second away from a point in the standings, it would have been a win for them. So it's definitely heartbreak in Košice. But as Craig Ramsey, their head coach, said after the game, it's more about the way that they played. And he could not have been more proud of his team. And that's the message that he wants them to know so that they can continue to have such success and potentially have progress even in the medal round.
Absolutely. As it stands, they're lying 5th in the standings, but a lot of hockey still to be played. Let's take it back to the start of the game, because the scoreline, I mean, the scoring started early and it just kept on going.
It sure did. And I think one of the things that is most disappointing for the team is that they had a 2-goal lead twice in this game, and it unfortunately slipped away both times. So it's one of those things where, you know, I say that there's this step on your throat and break their neck mentality that the teams that successfully win time and time again have. And when you're a smaller hockey country like Slovakia, you don't have that kind of experience to really drive that win home. And so this is a learning experience for them. And again, if you look at this roster, it is such a young team. I was talking to their captain, Andre Sequeira, and he always says it's a changing of the guard. You know, we used to have a lot of really great players, and then they all got old, and now we have this new group coming in, and he's trying to teach them how to have that step on your throat and break your neck mentality. But you have to go through games like this that really break your heart in order to learn how to win like that.
Right. Seeing that 4-2 lead slip away and become a 5-4 advantage to Canada, and then 6-5 the final score. A word in amongst that for Canada, a huge comeback win for them, but their defending will be raising some eyebrows, I imagine, there.
Absolutely. But it's easy to just look at the score sheet and be like, wow, Canada let in 5 goals. But you also have to understand that they've lost a lot of defensemen along the way. There was one instance where Damon Severson was in the box for 12 minutes for serving a penalty, but then they had 2 go down with injuries. So they played the second half of the game with 5 defensemen. So it's one of those things where both teams were playing with adversity in different aspects. And so it's just one of those things where, you know, they had to dig deep and to even get back into the game, let alone win it.
Who were your standout players then in this victory?
I would definitely have to go with Anthony Mantha for Canada. He really just played in beast mode. We kind of saw that at the end of the season in Detroit, but he really just brought it. And I felt like every time he was on the ice, he was doing something impactful. So he would be my guy for Canada. And for Slovakia, I would have to go with Sukel. And I just feel that entire line with him and Nagy and Marian Sudanich, just every time they were on the ice, they seemed to create something and generate offense. So I feel like, I mean, you asked me to pick one person, I'm going to go with him because he scored twice. But that entire line was really effective.
Right. Anthony, cometh the hour, cometh the Mantha, really dominating both on the puck and off it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things when you have a big body, you need to use it. And he's definitely one of those guys who does not shy away from playing a physical game. And he uses it to his advantage. It helps him to create puck separation and space for himself to be able to do stuff. Because as big of a guy that he is, he's so much more than that. He's got a lot of skill to his game. But allowing him to get that kind of space allows him to use that offensive talent that he has to do something with it.
Judy, you've just done the mix zone with these two teams. Were they clear on what had happened, or were they still a bit reeling?
They were definitely reeling. I mean, the mix zone is, it happens so quickly. It's not something that you can even just kind of cool down. It's different from a regular like NHL game. And so it's one of those things where you really do get the raw emotions. I mean, Tomáš Tatar was very disappointed, and you could see it written all over his face. But then you have other guys, like I said, Andre Sequeira, who was just so proud of his country and so proud of the fans who showed up throughout the entire game and just kept bringing it. You know, it's one of those things where this definitely hurt, but at the same time, you look at kind of what they've created and the hope that they now have to beat the United States, to take Canada to 1 second in the game, score 5 goals on them. They know they have the offensive power to do it throughout the rest of the tournament. Now they just have to go out and do it.
Judy, if we can just keep you for a second or two more to tell us about the other pretty amazing game that took place earlier on in Košice. The similarly tight affair between USA and Finland. Both sides picking up points here, but a 3-2 overtime win for the United States. And once again, it was a fast start by the Americans.
Absolutely. You know, we had talked before about how the United States really needed to be in their game right from the get-go, because this is not something you can always just claw your way back into. These teams fight hard. And even though Finland doesn't have a lot of NHL caliber talent, they definitely have a lot of experience and they play really hard. That's one of the benefits of their game. So they knew that they needed to be really strong from the get-go. And you sit there and you say, if you can get offense from your defense, you're in a good position. And that's exactly what happened when Brady Shea scored that slap shot from the point to put the U.S. up early. But then it's one of those things where, again, you just have to keep going, keep going, keep going. And Finland fought really hard and was able to kind of pull within one to get the 2-1 and then, of course, tie it up late in the game. You have to keep your foot on the gas. And fortunately for USA, they were able to get that in that 3-on-3. Opens up so much space. And when you have that kind of skill with that much room to create, it's not surprising that they that there were so many offensive chances. And then, you know, Dylan Larkin with the game winner to give USA the extra point.
Indeed. Now, this match had been billed as the duel of the debutants, the Jack Hughes-Kapokako clash. It didn't actually turn out that way, but how did the pair of them match up?
You can say that it didn't really match up, but in a way that it did. One of the things that I want to remind people engaged in this debate is that Kapokako is by far one of the best players on Team Finland. He doesn't have a lot of experience at this level, but he is incredibly talented, and they are relying on him in a huge, huge way to not only produce offense, but to create space and use his size. And he's getting monster minutes on the top line, on the top power play. They're utilizing him in such a way that makes it very difficult to compare with the way that Jack is being used, because Jack is on the team with NHL All-Stars, former Olympians, scoring champions. Like, there are so many really good players on Team USA, and that they're not going to simply defer to Jack because he's the projected number one overall pick in the draft. So it's one of those things where Team USA is utilizing Jack in a minimal way and providing him the opportunity to, you know, get into the game and contribute when he can. And they're not necessarily using him in the way that you know, Kapo is being used in Finland. So in a way, it didn't build up to what they wanted because nobody got any points. But at the same time, they were each able to showcase different aspects of their game. Kapo with his physical nature, and then, of course, with Jack and his skating, which really stood out every time he was on the ice tonight.
Julie Robbenheimer, a big win that for USA, who move up in Group A, still behind the Finns, Germany and Canada. They'll be facing Great Britain in their next game. Finland will be up against Denmark. One other game took place today, Norway-Sweden. Did you see much of this?
I didn't too much pay attention because I switched the TV for the Košice game. So it was just a game for one net. I guess it was more than 40 shots from Sweden and 15 from the Norway side. It's kind of a boring game, I guess.
Right. Particularly for Sweden's goalkeeper. Yeah. Norway coming into the tournament ranked 9th in the world. Did somebody really mess those numbers up? Or is this just a really disappointing performance from their team?
I think it's partly a tough start for them. They've had Sweden and the Czechs in their first three games. Those aren't necessarily fixtures they would be expecting to win. If they're going to get to the quarterfinals, they might be looking to pinch a result there. But you know, it's a nation that's been in the elite pool for a long time, but hasn't brought on as many younger players in that time as maybe they would like. So you've got an aging roster. You've got people who perhaps are coming to the end of their careers, not being readily replaced. They're capable of staying at this level, not least because of the problems that newly promoted teams are having, as we've seen in the last couple of days. But whether they've got enough to make a serious quarterfinal bid, I think that's unlikely this year.
As it stands, Italy might well guarantee their continuation in the top division. A quick word for William Nylander, though, who's putting up numbers like a scoreboard operator. What did he have? I think another 5 today. Was it a goal and 4 assists against Norway?
Yeah, his line was devastating today. I mean, they were at the heart of almost everything good that Sweden did. Yeah, you can look at it and say the opposition wasn't great, just as it wasn't in the previous game. But this is now 17 goals in 2 games Sweden have scored. It's a pretty solid bounce back from losing your opening game.
Absolutely.
And after that Italy win, they were talking about, we're not satisfied, we want more, we want 60-minute performances. Like Julia was saying about getting your foot on people's throats, that's pretty much what they did. I imagine Norway were delighted when that hooter went.
Well, before we look ahead to what awaits on Tuesday, is there a moment that stands out, a player of the day for you, František, from the action we've seen?
Maybe the 2 posts hit by Czech team, third period, Zohorna and Vrana hit the post. And that can be the key point of the game, if it can be the goal. So I guess I don't want to say Vasilevsky is just a lucky guy, he made a great performance, but it's, I guess, one of the most important part in the Czech-Russia game.
And for you, Andy, somebody who stood out?
Well, we talked about Nylander, and the goal that really stood out for me was just at the end of the first period. It was a real combined effort by the whole line, the way you had two of the forwards getting in the goalie's face, taking away his eyes, as the saying goes, making it impossible for him to see where the shot's coming. And of course,
Nylander scores!
Flies over his shoulder into the net, 3-0, and that's the end of any hopes for Norway. So, yeah, although that wasn't a great game, it's the little things like that that give you a clue as to why Sweden's won two world championships and will be among the favourites again this time.
Enough thinking of the past. Let's have a quick throw forward to what awaits on Tuesday in the IIHF Ice Hockey World Championship. Tuesday, day 5 of the World Sees. GB face Denmark. Italy looking for their first goal of the tournament against Latvia. Germany up against France, and an all-Alpine clash between Switzerland and Austria. So it could be a big day for Group A's battle to stay in the top division, with France, Denmark and Great Britain all in action. Denmark and Britain facing each other. Now, the Brits spent Monday picking themselves up after that 8-0 defeat at the hands of Canada on Sunday. A little bit of a reminder of the reality of playing at the World Champs. GB netminder Ben Bounds has faced 25 more shots than any other goalie coming into Monday's action in the World Championship so far. His opposite number in the upcoming Denmark game is Sebastian Dam, who Sunday was pulling off probably the save of the tournament till that point. Kicking out a pad to deny Leonard Fördel.
World Hockey Championship, it's the Germans and the Danes. And Sebastian Dam, left toe save. The Danes, great saves, great furniture.
That was a Dam good save.
To hear more about Dam and the Danes and their prospects on Tuesday, we dialed up former Danish lion Morten Green, now commentating with TV2.
Obviously, it wasn't the result yesterday that that Team Denmark was looking for. A really big game against Germany. Also, if you want to look upwards in the standings, trying to get that probably last spot for the quarterfinals, it was a tough loss yesterday. First game against France was Denmark was the better team, absolutely. But everything went France's way in that game. Scored from from the red line with a big goal there in the second period to give France the lead, and then. Denmark came back and took it in the penalty shootout, but they would have needed probably 3 points in that game.
In the second game, the scoreline could have been worse had it not been for that extraordinary save from Sebastian Dam.
Yeah, it was a big save, and it kept Team Denmark in the game at that point, giving them a chance to come back late. And they were actually really close to tie the game late there in the third with two shots hitting the post. But it's been kind of a story here with Team Denmark the first couple of games. Puck hasn't really been jumping their way.
Okay, well, you got 2 points on the board from that shootout win over France. Qualifying for the quarterfinals would be great, but there's also the danger of what's looking like quite a tight relegation battle. France are playing reasonably well. The game against Britain, would that be your biggest chance to get your first 3 points?
Absolutely. I mean, Team Denmark should be the better team in that game. Every player on the Danish team should be better than the guy standing in front of them on the other side.
You reached the quarterfinals in 2010 with the Danish side, and that's the ambition this time around. But is there also a danger that if you don't pick up 3 points, say, against Great Britain, with France maybe playing well, the next week could get pretty nervous for Denmark?
Absolutely. If Denmark loses tomorrow, it's crucial for the Danish team. They have only 2 points now. If Britain takes the win tomorrow, they're going to be on 3. And then Great Britain and France meeting up in the last game of the group on Monday, I believe it is. So then it's going to be really tight for Team Denmark. And then they're going to have to come out and make an upset result against probably Finland or Slovakia.
All right, well, we'll see about that as those matches come by. But just ahead then of the clash on Tuesday, who are the stars we should look out for from Denmark?
Well, obviously, the two NHL players participating in this World Cup, Lars Eller from Washington Capitals and Mikael Botker are playing really well for Team Denmark. And then you have the captain, Peter Regan, who's the leader of the team, who's the heart and soul of Team Denmark in, again this year in the championship. But actually, the best forward so far in the first two games has been Fredrik Storm, a winger who's playing in the Swedish SHL league with Team Malmö.
Right, he had a goal and assist, and also the winning shootout goal against France.
Exactly. Yeah, he was unbelievable in that game.
So, Franciszek and Andy, what do you think about Denmark's chances for the quarterfinals?
It will be tough for Denmark, I guess. The group in Košice, okay, that will be the next game against the big underdog as Great Britain. I'm pretty sure Denmark can win this game with no problems, but there was many more teams as Slovakia, Germany. I guess it's 100% that Canada, Finland and US goes to quarterfinal. The next can be Slovakia. So I guess it will be tough for Denmark and Germany to reach the quarterfinal to send home Slovakia because they play so good.
All right, although they won't have far to travel, Slovakia, of course. What about Germany then, Andy? What, do you see any hope for GB against the Danes? And what about Germany, who are 2-0 at this point?
I'm sure that the Denmark game is one that GB will be targeting. When I was speaking to Pete Russell before the tournament, he was talking about, you know, under no illusions about the challenge. You know you're not going to beat the Canadas and the Finlands in a tournament like this. But Denmark, France, ideally Germany didn't quite come off. Those are the games that you look at and think, goalie plays out of his skin, get a break, we might just nick something. That might be what keeps us up. It's what saved Austria last year. They got that win against Belarus and it all went from there. So, you know, they will give it everything they've got. It will need Ben Bounds to stand on his head and perform miracles again. It will need someone to actually provide a cutting edge on offense. That's what promoted teams nearly always lack at this level. It's just that extra couple of seconds that you're used to having in Division One, maybe you're used to having in the Elite League back in Britain, and you don't get that here. You get the puck and someone's on top of you before you even notice, and that's really hard to get out of. But if they can do it against Denmark, against France, there's hope. It's an outside shot, but we do love a bit of hope.
We do indeed. It is what we'd call in football a relegation six-pointer, this, no?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's worth keeping in mind, you mentioned football. GB come into this tournament ranked 22nd in the world, which, if you're used to the FIFA rankings, sounds pretty good. But the FIFA rankings cover 200 nations and the IHF rankings cover 50. So we're kind of slightly worse than Canada's soccer team. It's that kind of challenge that we're facing. Simply getting here is an achievement which really cannot be overstated, even if it does lead to results like we saw against Canada the other day.
What about France then, another of the teams under threat, and their chances against Germany? They looked feisty in that defeat in the shootout to Denmark in their opening game.
They did. I mean, they've had a sequence not unlike GB's. It's an interesting tournament for France. They're long-serving head coach Dave Henderson stood down after the tournament last year, and it's one of those kind of handover moments. No one quite knows what's going to happen next, how much his role was keeping them in the top flight for so long. The performance against Denmark, I think, threw down a marker that, you know, France are still in business. It's not all going to go away. Then the performance against the USA obviously was a very different story, but as we discussed with GB in Canada, you wouldn't expect a good French result from that fixture. They will be looking at the Germans as something they can win. I think the Germans might just have enough for them. I think the extra quality that someone like Leon Draisaitl brings to the team could be enough just to unpick the French. And it's not going to be a one-sided game. It may not be a high-scoring game. The Germans haven't really set the scoring charts alight. But I think they've just got that little bit extra and should get through that one.
Okay. Well, that's Tuesday's action then. We'll be back at the end of it all to round up all of the Day 5 news and look ahead to what awaits on Wednesday. Many thanks to Franciszek and to Andy for being with us today. And thanks as well you for listening. Don't forget to share and subscribe if you've enjoyed the show. And to check out the IIHF app, which features all the latest goals and stats and info and is thoroughly excellent. That's it for today. We'll catch you tomorrow. Goodbye.
The Totally Ice Hockey Show is a Muddy Knees Media production in association with In Front.